Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, by the Lord, through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
I want to speak to you now about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming into the world. And I want to ask you one simple question, and the question is, what do you want for Christmas? Probably you've been asked that question already. I wonder what your answer was. And I suppose in answer to that question tonight, the answers would vary according to the number of people that we have here. And they would probably range from the familiar to the outlandish. I want to suggest some answers to that question tonight. And really, I suppose that what I will be suggesting is what you should want for Christmas. Things that the Bible says are important and necessary, and things that touch on what is essential, and things that touch on the deepest need of the human condition. So what do you want for Christmas? Well, I want life. I want life. Real life. Today, people are searching for extraterrestrial life, and the excitement gets heightened whenever they discover a new Earth-like planet. But when Jesus came to this Earth 2,000 years ago, he didn't come to find life, came to give life. And the fact of the matter is, according to the scriptures, people who walk this earth are not really alive. They're physically alive, but they're not spiritually alive. The Bible says that people are dead in trespasses and sins. It says, in effect, that they are all dead men walking. And Jesus came in order to give life to men. The Lord Jesus came to give abundant life. And abundant life is the kind of life that is marked by the knowledge of God, by knowing God, by walking with God, enjoying God, serving God, being in relationship with God, a life of joy and peace, even in the midst of trouble and difficulty, a life of growth and holiness, and a life marked by the privilege of interaction with the living God. Jesus came to bring abundant life, and Jesus came to bring eternal life. Can you imagine eternity, life forever, and life forever that is marked by undiminished bliss? Take a moment and think about an eternity of undiminished bliss. And Jesus came to bring life to those who would believe in his name. The atheistic mathematician, philosopher Bertrand Russell said that the secret to happiness is to face the fact that the world is horrible. And he said, life is nothing but a competition to be the criminal rather than the victim. And so the outlook of people in this world is a bleak one and understandable. But Jesus came to bring life. What do you want for Christmas? Well, I want life, abundant and eternal life. What do you want? Well, I want peace. Well, Jesus came to bring peace with God. The problem is, you see, that real life involves a relationship with God. But sin has separated us from God. And so if we're to know real life, sin must be dealt with. Well, Jesus came to deal with sin so that we might have peace with God. Problem is that people don't think that they're sinners. Maybe you don't. People do not see themselves as sinners. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the gym, and I just finished working out, and I was feeling good, feeling really good. And I walked towards the change room, and I felt great. And I didn't think these particular words, but these words express the feeling. I looked around at these very fit people, and I thought, now, these are my people. This is where I belong. I got to the change room and sat down, and then I looked up. And it so happened that where I had sat down, there was right in front of me a mirror. And I looked up, and I realized, it was an epiphany, I realized that how I felt didn't correspond to what I saw in the mirror. And what I saw in the mirror was rather distressing compared to how I was feeling. The scripture, James says, is like a mirror. And you might feel yourself to be quite good. But when you turn your eyes to the scriptures, you see that you're a sinner. And God says, love me above all things, and you realize that you do not. And God says that you are to be holy, and you realize that you are not. And God says that you're not to lie, and you realize you do. And God says you're not to envy, and you know that you do. And God says you're to have no other gods before him, and again, you know that you do. And so you come to the scriptures and you realize that what the Bible says is true, that we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has come in order to save sinners. They call his name Jesus because that's what he's going to do. He's going to bring, for those who believe in his name, peace with God. What do you want? Well, I want peace with God. That's why Jesus came. Many years ago, John Lennon sang, imagine all the people living life in peace. That was a pipe dream. A brotherhood of man, he sang about. It was a pipe dream. The Lord Jesus alone brings peace with God. So what do you want? Well, I want peace. And, And I want life and I want purpose. I want purpose in my life. Jesus came to bring purpose. Came to save people from their sins so that they might know God and be reconciled to God. And then as they live for God, they have a purpose. Some of you perhaps remember Jackie Gleason, who was a great comedian, but a sad man. And one biography of him says that he was a lonely and suffering soul, given to late night drinking sessions, looking for answers to life and death, with a terrible emptiness in him that he couldn't fill, no meaning and no purpose in life. We understand that. And I wouldn't be surprised if you really understand that. And if that resonates with you, because your life is empty and your life has no purpose and you wander through life aimlessly. Jesus came to save sinners so that they might know God and then, as Paul said, live for Christ. The apostle said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's the purpose that every Christian has. When things are going well and when things are going not so well, we're living for Christ. Every part of your life and every day that you walk this earth, Christian, matters because you're living for Christ. And if you're not a Christian, that ought to sound wonderful to you. Jesus came to bring salvation so that we might live for God. Gives us purpose. And then he gives us freedom. What do you want for Christmas? Well, I'd like freedom. I want freedom. We are told that $32 billion is generated every year from an estimated 27 million slaves in the world, many of whom are sex slaves. Well, the Bible tells us that that kind of thing happens because everybody outside of Christ is a slave to sin, including you. If you're not a Christian, you think you're free, but you're not. You're a slave to sin. The good news is that Jesus came to free people from sin, to free us from the penalty of sin. If you believe in him, you're justified. He came to save us from the power of sin. The Son will set you free. And he came to save us from the very presence of sin. One day, we shall be perfect, those of us who believe in the name of Christ. Oh, the Lord Jesus came to free us. You'll know his truth. His truth will set you free. And he invites you to be free. He invites you to come and believe and be free. Perhaps if you've not visited Rio, perhaps you've seen the picture. Perhaps you've seen a picture of the statue of Jesus standing on that hill, arms outstretched. Well, the Bible says that's how the Lord Jesus really is in terms of his attitude towards sinners. His arms are wide. Come, I'll make you free. You want freedom? It's in Christ. And then I want friendship. I want to have real friends. This is a harsh, it's a cold world in which we live. I want friends. I want a real friend. Marilyn Monroe said, sometimes I think the only people who stay with me and really listen are the people I hire and the people I pay. I wonder if you have a true friend. Now, the Lord Jesus, now listen to this, is the friend of sinners. You can have no better friend than Jesus. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that is what Jesus has done. He came into the world. And remember I said earlier, the story doesn't end at Bethlehem. The story continues at Calvary. Jesus came in order that he might die. And he died in order that he might save. He died so that he might save all who believe in his name. And greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And if you would have the best friend any sinner could have, you look to Christ. Well, then I also want family. I want family. You want to be with your family at Christmas time. Well, some of us have family and we're thankful. And some of us do not, and we submit to the providence of God. And some of us have dysfunctional families and we recognize the wisdom of God even in that. And some of us have families that are broken and we experience the comfort of God even in that. But I tell you this, that every Christian, every child of God, everybody who knows the Lord Jesus, everyone who's turned from sin and trusted Christ, is part of God's family. And you can come and call God Abba Father. And you can recognize the Lord Jesus as your elder brother. And you can walk into a church like this and see other Christians. And though you might not know them well, you can embrace them and recognize that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the family of God. When you're saved, when you believe in Christ, when your sins are forgiven, you're made part of this family. A multitude that no man can number through all generations. And one day the whole family will be gathered around the throne. I want to be part of a family. This is the family to be a part of. And then I want joy. What do you want for Christmas? Well, look, I want to be happy. And I want to have real joy. I want to have joy that is not dependent upon circumstances. Jesus says, I'll give you my joy. That is not joy based on circumstances, because circumstances change. It is joy based on a relationship with God, on the knowledge of God, on being a child of God. And the joy flows from that. There is no greater joy than knowing God. You understand that? There is no genuine joy out there. Nothing out there really satisfies the soul. You will find no rest and no peace and no joy out there. And probably you've already come to that realization. But in Christ, there's true and lasting and eternal joy. And then I want hope. I want joy and I want hope. Well, Christians are the people of hope. Christians have hope for this life because we know that God is with us all throughout. And Christians have hope for the next world because we know that then we will be with God. And that's why Christians, well, you know, sometimes their lives are difficult, but they rise above it. Sometimes their lives are horrendous, actually, but they rise above it. Why? Because they have hope. Because they know the Lord and they know He will be with them no matter how difficult the road. And they know that one day they will be with Him. And that will be glory. So what do you want for Christmas? PlayStation? How about this? I want life. And I want peace, and I want purpose, and I want freedom, and I want friendship, and I want family, and I want joy, and I want hope. And I'm saying to you that that is all wrapped up in Christ. When you believe in Him, when you turn from sin and trust the Lord Christ, you are forgiven. You are brought to a knowledge of God and all these blessings and so much more than I could possibly name are yours. It is our prayer that if you're a Christian, you will glory in your blessings. And it is our prayer that if you're not a Christian, that tonight you will come to the Lord Jesus for this. We're going to close our service with the singing of Silent Night. And after